Attention aspiring musicians of all levels from all over the world. Want to learn to play guitar or bass like your heroes? Well, I have the guy for you. Multi-instrumentalist Corey Glazer has played with Fastball, Paula Nelson, Skyrocket, me, and many more. In fact, his song Needle Hits the Groove is our theme song. Corey's been teaching for over 2 decades and is now offering his services all over the world via Zoom. So if you want to learn rock, country, R&B or funk, folk or jazz on guitar or bass, just go to CoreyGlazer.com or follow the link in the text of this podcast and start shredding on guitar or slapping the bass like a pro with Corey Glazer at CoreyGlazer.com. Let's get down.
How did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Howdy.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. I'm at the beach in Galveston with my family and a bunch of family dogs. I'm here for a while. It's been absolutely fantastic. There was a beach, Galveston Beach miracle this morning. I was walking down the beach, and there was a family playing ball, and it was Corey Baum from Croy and the Boys, Austin's own Croy and the Boys, also vacationing here in Galveston on the same beach, only a quarter of a mile from where we're at. It was such a nice surprise, him and his lovely wife and his lovely little guy, Johnny. They were just playing ball on the beach. Happy little family. Galveston life's been good. It's been a good weekend. I've been out of the news for a while, so that was good. I got back in once I saw the Giuliani fart stuff, and I hope you guys are all handling all of this very well, and I hope you're easing into your day. I hope you're being safe. I hope you're healthy, and I hope you're sane. I have a great show for you guys today. Jordan Gibbons from country band The Barons has just put out a brand new EP. It's their debut EP. It's called Young. It was engineered by my friend Pat Mansky over there at The Zone. I've done some work with him. He's a fantastic dude. You can find Young and all about The Barons at thebaronsband.com. We have a great conversation. She comes from San Antonio. She has a partner named Dana Smith, but I only talked to Jordan Gibbons, and they used to play country covers at like farmers markets and stuff and weddings, and then they took the plunge and started playing their original music and getting it out there, and you can find all of that on their debut EP, Young, available now. We have a great conversation. So without further ado, I hope that you are safe, healthy, and sane wherever it is that you are. I'm enjoying the beach, as I'm telling you now. I can't believe this is episode 998. This is the last episode of Conversations before the 1,000th episode. And I have some good shows for you guys next week. Episode 1,000 and 1,001 are both absolutely fantastic, as is today's my conversation with Jordan Gibbons from The Barons. Enjoy it. Let's get down. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, I'm back home in San Antonio where I grew up. I'm living in Austin now, but I'm here for the week staying at my dad's, kind of holding down the fort while he's out of town.
Looks like you got grounded and you're in your room again.
I know. I'm in the closet. I know. I was like, it's better. It's peace and quiet in here.
Yeah. So great job on the album. On the EP, Hey. Sorry, Young. I like Pat Mansky, man. I've worked out there and I've done some shows where Pat played drums on the show, on the gig, and it was a great, he's such a good vibe.
He's awesome. Yeah. He's super talented, and not only did he know his stuff, but he just totally puts everyone at ease and makes everyone feel welcome and comfortable and free to kind of voice their opinions and experiment. So, he really set the tone, and it was a lot of fun working with him.
That's great. That's great. Did you guys record it live? Like the tracking of the band and stuff live?
Yeah, the guys all recorded live, and then I came over the next day and did the vocals and everything. But yeah, the band all tracked together and live there in Dripping Springs. And yeah, we're happy with like how it turned out and yeah, what we came up with.
Yeah, you should be. It's turned out really good. So you're from San Antonio?
I am, yes. Yeah. Born and raised. Yep. Went to college here, got my teaching degree at UTSA, and yeah, moved to Austin about 3 years ago.
Do you teach people now?
I do. I tell people I'm like Jack Black in like School of Rock. I substitute teach. That's how I make my money during the week. I sub during the week. And then when we have gigs on the weekends, I'm playing in a band. And it's good because it allows me to be in the classroom and kind of network with people that way. But it allows me the flexibility to pick up a job when I want. And I don't have to worry about someone covering my shift at like a restaurant or something because I'm the one covering the shift. So it's really right. Nice. And it works out really good.
So were you guys... It must suck, you know, you release your debut EP in a pandemic.
Yeah.
That's totally. kind of a vibe
we
killer.
We were planning to do it. Yeah, because we recorded, I guess, last September. And, you know, it takes a couple months to get the artwork together and mixed and mastered and all that good stuff. So we were planning to release it, like, right around March, April, which is when, you know, everything started happening. We didn't really know what to do. We were like, should we wait? We should see like kind of how things play out.
Right.
Like a couple weeks. But then just as, you know, the months went on, we were like, we don't know when this is going to end, you know, or if we're ever going to go back to a new normal. So, we were just like, you know what? We just got to roll with it. Just like everybody else is having to adjust. And, you know, that's part of being in a team and just kind of figuring out plan B and rolling with it. And so we just kind of rolled with it. Just tried to, obviously we're not playing live as much anymore, but,
I saw on your Facebook and stuff that you guys had played over the last couple of weeks a little bit, or
yeah, we've done
a lot of pictures from one gig or a couple of gigs. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been good. And we've gotten a lot of songwriting done. So it's been productive, you know, the best that we can. So it's been good.
What are those gigs like? They're live streams? There's no people there?
Yeah, it's just a bunch of cameras, you know, which is totally a different different vibe. But it's fun. It was really a really good time. We did a segment with Purple Bee Studios out in Cedar Creek right outside of Austin. And they just have like a killer studio. It's like in this little double wide trailer, and they fed us dinner. They got us like fried chicken and macaroni and took really good care of us. And we recorded some songs there, which was fun.
Just real quick, an aside, I just was thinking about what's the substitute teacher game like now?
Yeah. So I just picked up my first couple of assignments last week, and I had kindergarten for a week. And I only had 6 kids in my class versus 26. So I usually get home at the end of the day and I'm so tired. But I got home and I had all this energy because, you know, you don't have as many kids to worry about. So it was kind of nice because you get to spend more one-on-one time with the kids. But it was so weird, like, seeing these little 5-year-olds in their face masks and, you know, reminding each other like, hey, like put up your shield when you eat. It's weird. It was a totally different experience, but I'm very impressed with how these 5-year-olds are handling everything. I'm super impressed.
That's good. It's good to know that the youngsters aren't as frivolous as we hear they might be on.
Yes.
I don't have kids or anything. So like, I always imagine kids like whatever is on the news, like they're licking frogs. And they're doing whatever they need to do because they freak me out. But so Man, Jordan, what kind of music, like, is it alt-country? Is that what you play? Because I'm having a real hard time with genres these days.
I know, same. People always ask, like, what do you consider yourself? And I grew up listening to country music. My dad always had, you know, 80s and 90s country blaring in the house. And so I feel like I'm more influenced in that genre and as far as songwriting goes. But the guys that I, you know, play with in the band, they grew up, you know, playing alternative rock, and which I was always a huge fan of too. So we're just kind of trying to, you know, add our little pieces and see what comes of it. But we always find it's kind of middle of the road between that country, also that alternative soft rock that we all draw inspiration from.
Yeah, there's this vibe of like, I read that you're the Eagles. Was that like on an Instagram
Love
thing? That's
Eagles.
Your favorite band? That's, I mean, in, yeah. Genre-wise, that to me, it's like country rock.
Yes, exactly.
But I don't know if people use that anymore.
Right. Yeah, we're kind of like, okay, we're Americana, you know, indie, country, I don't even know. But yeah, the Eagles, I love how, you know, they kind of started off really bluegrassy country and then got a little bit rockier as they went on and experimented with their sound. And I feel like that's kind of what we're doing too.
I love them too. And I think they have great songs and I like the execution of them, but people fucking hate them, man. Like there's people that hate them. I can't tell if it's because of, what's that bowling movie? The Big Lebowski. Because the dude's like, I hate the Eagles, man. And I never heard anyone say that until that movie. And then afterwards, I just hear people say it like, oh, I hate the, no, they're crappy. But I don't think they're crappy. I think they wrote great songs and like.
I do too. I'm like, they were incredible songwriters. And I mean, those harmonies, I'm so big into harmonies. We do like, we try our best to do a 3-piece harmony type of deal, but I don't know. Yeah, I feel like sometimes people hate on those really successful bands.
Right. They're an easy target. Yeah, they're an easy target.
Right, but I'm just like, hey, like, you know, it's, I don't know. They have always just been one of my favorites. And
dude, have you ever seen them when they do the Circle of Shame?
No.
Oh, dude, that's what they do before a gig to warm up their voices. And they get in a circle and sing in the most vulnerable, like in a very tight circle and singing each other. I guess you can't do that now because you're just blowing corona everywhere. But these, it's very intense. They're pretty meticulous about their harmonies and that, you know, in that naked, vulnerable situation with one acoustic guitar and, you know, 4 or 5 voices, you get busted if you're not happening.
Yeah. No, I may have seen that where they do like the Seven Bridges Road.
Yeah. I think it's in that
like
documentary.
My Daddy Was a Handsome Devil or something.
Right.
Just, oh my God. Yeah, those harmonies. And it's, you know, when they really strip it down, you can just see like, oh my God, those voices blending. It's hard to do. It's hard to pull off, you know?
It is. And, you know, that's a thing that's a signature for some bands. Do you feel like it's kind of a signature for, like, I'm trying to think about what it sounds like when you all sing together. Maybe it's not all presented as flagrantly as theirs were, but but you know that really defines a band. Like you know the Bee Gees, the Eagles, the Beatles. They all sing perfect harmonies, but you can always tell it's them by their harmonies. Crosby, Stills, Nash. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
dude, fucking Van Halen. You can always tell Van Halen because that just super high singing dude.
Exactly.
You know?
For sure. Yeah, and I feel like those are just bands that we're all collectively like such big fans of. And we use a lot of harmonies. We love that sound. And especially live, just when you're in a room and can kind of hear that reverb you know, the echo. It's fun to do that. I love singing harmony. I actually get a lot of, I think it's really fun to Yeah.
That's how I can always feel like I can tell a real pro band that rehearses is like if they have more than a 2-part harmony, like the guy singing a third or something. But like if they have like a three part or more harmonies and they nail it, you're always like, oh yeah, those guys practice. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And I think back, you know, it's me, Trey, and Dana. There are two lead guitarists and they are the ones that sing with me. And yeah, we'll just spend a couple, you know, 30 minutes here, an hour here in the practice space. And I think just the more you do anything, like we've started to learn each other's voices and timing and, you know, how we say certain words or sing certain words. And so the more we play together, the more we kind of find that blend. And it's been fun. Yeah.
So you write the tunes, basically? You're the main songwriter?
I do, yeah. Recently, I've been trying to write with Dana, who is one of our lead guitarists, and we make a really good team. We kind of started the band a couple years ago and found our guys on Facebook. And but the two of us played in another band, like a cover band in San Antonio together for a couple years. And he's worked for a couple of producers in Austin, so has kind of does the more production side of things and the arrangements. And so recently he's been sending me demos and tracks to write to. So that's kind of been fun because I'm more lyrics, melodies. Sometimes it's hard for me to come up with those really fun, interesting music parts, which I feel like he's so good at.
Why is that?
I don't know. He's grown up playing guitar since he was like 7.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of got into music later on, like in college.
So like your vocabulary, you don't feel is large enough to really inspire more songs. Yeah, yeah, I get it.
For sure. Like sometimes I'll find myself getting into these patterns where I'm sticking to the same chord progressions. Yeah. And, you know, you kind of get in your rut and find what sounds good, but then it starts sounding like all the other songs you're writing. So with his perspective, when he sends me his tracks, I'm like, okay, I would have never come up with this.
Yeah.
And it helps me hear melodies I would have never heard and lyrics. And, you know, so it's been fun to mess around with that and co-write a little bit.
Yeah. Do you ever co-write outside of the Dana, or do you and Dana write with anyone else, or is there like have you ever done like House of Songs or anything like that?
Yeah. A couple years ago, I took a trip up to Nashville and had a couple co-writes at some publishing houses. And
how's that?
It was awesome. It was so cool to go up there and just see what a writing community that is. And that's what they do 7 days a week, 24/7. You know, they go from one write in the morning, they take a lunch break, and they go to their next write, and they can cram in like 3 or 4 different co-writes in one day. So just seeing the work ethic of those writers and just being in the room with them, it's just, they're doing it constantly. So they're so good at coming up with a line or, you know, turning a phrase or throwing out a concept that you just would have never come up with. So it was really cool for me. And I really just want to get back up there and maybe block off a week or two and just schedule writes up in Nashville and see what we can come up with.
Were you with a publisher?
No. So my dad's buddy has worked in the music business up in Nashville for a while. And so, you know, we were just reaching out to all of our music contacts and reached out to him, was like, hey, can you help us get some co-writes up there? And he made us some introductions and it was good. So we're planning our next trip like early 2021.
When you were writing, were you up there like writing songs like, oh, maybe Faith Hill will cover this? Or were you guys like focusing on Jordan singing this?
Yeah, kind of just even. I think right now we're just focusing on like, hey, let's expand our band. We're writing for our band. Now that the EP's out, we've kind of talked about our next goals and what we want to do next. And we're wanting to write an album. And so yeah, we're just kind of, when we go up there, when we reach out to these writers, it's like, okay, what songs can we come up for our project as a band?
Right.
But I've always thought in the back of my mind, like, that would be so cool to, you know, have a publisher and pitch my songs to the big guys in country and kind of get in that racket. Like, that's definitely something that I think about and that I would love to explore, just how, yeah, if someone could cut one of my songs, that would be amazing. So always keeping my ear out for opportunities like that and stuff.
Yeah. All right. So let's go back. Let's figure out who Jordan is here.
Yes.
So you were born in San Antonio?
Born in San Antonio. Yeah, I lived in Ruidoso, New Mexico, like from kinder to fourth grade.
Oh, really?
My grandparents lived up there. Small town living.
What kind of in San Antonio? Your dad's there. Were your parents together, like when you were a kid, or?
Yeah, so I grew up, they were together. My dad grew up in the baseball industry, in the sports world. So I kind of had like a pretty unconventional childhood. I felt like we were always, San Antonio was always our home base. But during the baseball season, he would be in Florida or New York or Canada.
What? What aspect of the baseball industry?
So he grew up in San Antonio also and was drafted by the Mets out of high school.
Oh, no shit. And that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was like a first round pick. Bragging on my dad here for a second, but with like Daryl Strawberry and like Billy Bean and all
that. Yeah, baby. That is awesome. Yeah.
So he went and did that thing with the Mets organization, and his playing career didn't really pan out like he had wanted it to. There was a lot of injuries, and they signed for Gary Carter, who of course is like, you know, Hall of Famer and, you know, incredible baseball player. And his playing career just never really took off. And he eventually got into coaching.
Oh, cool.
Through the Mets organization. So when I was born, he was already into coaching with like minor leagues. He was in Double A, Single A, Triple A. So we would go like from February to October.
Yeah.
All these little like baseball towns, you know, in Oklahoma or Florida, Virginia, and we'd, you know, stay in these little rinky dink apartments, you know. And my mom would pull us out of school in February and homeschool us until the end of the year.
Dude,
and
that it was so cool.
Yeah. So it was kind of nice because, you know, I grew up really close to my family because we were really all that we had, you know, we would move around a bunch. Dad was gone for, you know, most of the year, and my mom was a single mom, but they were still together.
Right, right, right.
But it was different than all my friends who had dads that had this 9-to-5 job or, you know, so, but a lot of great experiences. We got to travel the country and meet a lot of really cool people. And my dad's a dreamer and he's, you know, so supportive. I think a lot of people in music, it's such a, there's no guarantees and it's not like, you know, there's a lot of risk involved in this career path.
Right. Your dad's story in baseball is probably the most common story, just like that would be the same story in music, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Most of the time, there's so many, and he's, you know, there's so many talented musicians or players that have the chops, and, you know, it's kind of that thing where it's like right place at the right time.
Right place, right time, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so when I started to kind of voice like, hey, like I'm going to substitute teach, I'm not going to get a teaching job just yet, my mom was kind of like, you just spent 4 years in college and you're not going to go get a teaching job. And my dad was like, honey, go for it. Like, you get one life, and like, you know, and cause that's kind of the path that he took, and he, it worked out for him. You know, it doesn't work out for everybody, but, and I got to see, like, it wasn't all glitz and glam for him either. He was grinding it out for years in minor league system, you know? So I think that kind of, subconsciously is in my work ethic, I guess, you know, just like, hey, you got to hustle, you got to grind,
sure,
you got to make it happen, you know?
Yeah. That's really interesting. What did your mom do? What was her scene?
Yeah, so she, same as me, she was got a teaching degree, and she was always stayed at home with us. She had, you know, with my dad's schedule, you know, she luckily didn't have to go into work. She could stay at home with us and just kind of take care of us and, you know, make sure the home, everything was running smoothly.
How many of us, when you say us, how many of us are there? How many kids?
I have two brothers.
Okay. Older or younger?
Two younger.
Okay.
So I'm always around the guys. I'm like baseball boys and like my brothers, the band boys.
The band.
I feel like I'm always running with the guys. Which was a lot of fun.
Which ones are the hardest ones to deal with? The baseball boys, the brothers, or the band guys? That's the question.
It's funny. Okay, so my drummer in my old band, he was a sociology professor at the college that I went to. And he always just had we always had like such interesting conversations and he always had these great insights. But he was like, you know, you've dated like the athlete and you've also dated like the musician type. He was like, you know, which one do you gravitate towards more? And I feel like they're just two totally different breeds, and stereotyping, you know, generalizing a little bit, but it's just funny. Like there's these different cultures and I don't know. It's interesting.
You definitely do different stuff, I'm sure. Like on dates, like the dates are different.
The dates are different. Even like the way that you express I feel like athletes are very programmed to be unemotional and like, you know, you don't want to show your cards because you got a game to win or, you know, and whereas musicians, I feel like it's, you know, you do wear your heart on your sleeve a lot and you're more you're open. Again, I'm generalizing, but it's just funny kind of the different guys that you hang around and, you know, what everyone brings to the table, I guess.
Well, what about you? Are you an emotional person or did you grow up like a tomboy with your brothers and like holding back the expression or what's going on here?
Are you into the Enneagram at all?
No, what is that?
Oh my God, I am obsessed. I nerd out on the Enneagram. It's basically like this personality test. So it's kind of like the Myers-Briggs. And there's basically like these 9 personality types that they say that you have. And I'm the 9. I'm the peacekeeper is what they call it. And I'm very sensitive. Like I'm a Cancer. I'm really big into astrology too. I'm a Cancer to a T. Just very like sensitive, like very introspective. Yeah, I have a lot of feelings and, you know, they find their ways into my songs, which is good. The songs have been a good outlet for that. But yeah, I feel like I've always been pretty good at like expressing my emotion and yeah, that's just kind of how I am. But I was a tomboy too.
Yeah. I was just thinking about how that must be an interesting sort of dating life. When you said that you've dated both, in my mind, you date a musician, and then whenever you're done with that guy, you date an athlete. When you're done with that guy, you date a... That's just the way I equated it, the way you said it.
Yeah.
And it's also because I'm insane. But the other thing is that I was thinking, like, it must be kind of nice, because when you get tired of some musician, like, bitching about his feelings 24/7, then it must be nice to go to, like, some strong dude that's like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, like, don't talk to me about that. Like, that's for... Yeah. I don't need to hear it.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
So it's funny because you did, I noticed in this song, Unfinished, I read that it was about depression. I went back and listened to it, and it sort of describes sort of like an existential description of being depressed. Is that something that, because you're emotional, do you lean towards that, or is that just regular depressed, like normal people? Not, I didn't mean it like that. Like,
yeah,
average people get.
For sure. Yeah, I think that when I wrote that, it was funny. I was sitting down and I was like looking at all these songs that I had not finished. And I was like, oh, these songs are all unfinished. I was like, unfinished. Like, that would be a cool title for something.
Yeah.
And it's kind of ironic that I didn't finish those other songs, but I did finish Unfinished. And so got that done. But yeah, I was just kind of, I remember one day, like, Googling, I'm sure, you know, what feelings do you experience when you're depressed? And it's like, you can't concentrate. Like, you can't, you're kind of in this haze. And I don't know, I just always liked the line, oh, I can't concentrate. Like, my mind is literally all over the place. And I think that I'm just more, I think just how my nature, I'm kind of more, like I said, like, kind of sensitive. I pick up on people's energies and, like, I don't know. I was an anxious kid growing up, you know, and I've learned, like, the skills to manage that. And I think everyone, you know, experiences anxiety in some form. But yeah, I think that there's been certain points in my life that I've felt more depressed. And over the years, as I've gotten older, I've gotten really into, like, reading about how I can manage that stuff and the tools that I can learn to kind of combat that, those natural feelings that everyone as a human being experiences, you know. But I think that I am definitely more prone to those depressive episodes and stuff. Yeah. And I think a lot of creative people are, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
There's also a thing, I also experience anxiety, and I have, I don't experience it walking on stage. I can walk on stage in front of, the more people, the more comfortable I feel as, yeah, like, oh, I just have to do the thing that comes out of me, right? But there is a thing, and I moved around a lot as a kid too. Like, there was a lot of on the go. It's like one period we lived in one place for 5 years, but the rest of the time was like different schools every year or two, you know? And yeah. The one thing that I think came out of that too, and I think that maybe this anxiety thing happens because you're constantly walking into a room of new people that are judging you, and it's difficult.
Totally.
Especially when you feel weird. You know, you're not like those kids. Like, they're going to be like, oh, so what did you, oh, no, we, in this apartment, it's my dad is in the baseball, and we were in this other place last year. Now we're in St. Petersburg, or so, you know what I mean? Like, just something crazy. And I feel like that sort of does, just when you said that, I was like, you know, I bet that that's probably a lot of where my anxiety stems from, walking into
actually,
a room.
Yeah, actually, you know, that's never even really occurred to me too, but that's so spot on. Like, it's so interesting because, yeah, when you move into those different situations, I feel like I take a long time to, like, warm up to people. Like, I'm very in my shell until, like, I really feel like I can share myself with you, you know? And I think it, you know, that makes sense moving around a bunch because, yeah, you don't want to, it's a vulnerable place, like, meeting new people, especially when you're the new person and you're coming into this crowd that knows each other. And, you know, you're bouncing around from different friend groups and you're just trying to be yourself, but you're also trying to, you know, fit in. Yeah. And I guess that makes sense to why I'm kind of guarded and just, you know, I could open her up around myself, around my family, you know, because we were always the constants with each other.
Right, right.
But with other people, it's like, oh yeah, like, it just takes a little bit to let those walls down, I guess.
There's a thing that, do you know U2?
Oh, love them.
Okay.
Yes.
The Edge says this about Bono. He's like, he's so weird. Like, he can be whatever anybody he's talking to wants him to be. And yeah. I think that's another trait from that too. Like, I have an adaptability to try to make somebody like me.
Totally. It's, you know, like, you're a chameleon. Yeah. I think that's just one of those, like, a skill, like, okay, that we kind of probably picked up, like, hey, yeah, in order to make my life easier and to fit in with these kids, it's like, how can I, you know, be one with you guys? And,
yeah.
And sometimes that's a great thing. And sometimes it gets me in a lot of trouble. And,
sure,
you know, it's just finding that balance of, like, okay. And I think as I've gotten older, just, yeah, that's something that I always battle, just like being my true authentic self and right. then just, you know,
right.
like the peacekeeper that I am, exactly. you know, pleasing exactly. the people around me, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
sure.
So you're a kid. What did you want to do when you were a kid? Like did you want to be a teacher when you were a kid?
So I definitely, me and all my girlfriends used to like print out old, like these worksheets, and we used to play teacher. I asked for a whiteboard for Christmas and we would take turns. Like I'd be the teacher one day. And so I definitely, always saw myself doing that. Secretly, I would always dream about myself like on stage or like, singing.
when you did, what were the inspiration things for like you're young, like how old were you when American Idol started?
Oh man, I don't even remember. I just remember seeing Carrie Underwood and like I was probably, oh my gosh, middle school maybe, and Carrie like really struck a chord with me, and I just yeah, I remember going to her concerts and like seeing her, and at night, you know, when you're dreaming about things or before you fall asleep.
Yeah.
I would just picture myself on stage. Yeah. And I was like, but I always thought it was like this pipe dream. Like, how does somebody do that? You know, it was just kind of one of those like fantasies that I had, and it was going to stay there, and I was going to, you know, go do my teaching thing.
Did you sing though? Like, did you walk around singing and people go like, oh, Jordan, you have a nice voice?
Yeah, I was like into sports. Like I played soccer growing up. So I grew up in church, and so I did the church plays and, but never did band or anything in middle school or high school. I kind of just did the sports route. And, yeah, it really wasn't until college. My grandma had this old guitar that just kind of sat in her closet. And I remember sitting in front of the mirror, pretending that I knew how to play it, you know?
Right, right.
And for years when I was little. And then finally, when I went to college, I had some more free time on my hands. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn how to play the guitar. And that's kind of how it started. Yeah, I was like 18, 19, and went on YouTube. I had a couple guitar lessons, you know, in person. But I was like, I just felt like YouTube was easier. It was cheaper, and I could rewind it and fast forward and pause it like as many times as I needed to. Whereas in person, it's like, what did you say? Like that totally just went over my head, right, and you're right. paying all this money, which is, you know, it's they're both great, but I don't know. That's just kind of where I started, and yeah, it just kind of evolved, and you know, yeah. And here we are with the bands in Austin, and you know, we're still new, but...
How did you end up in a band, though, like in San Antonio? Like, how did you go from, like, a person in school learning to be a teacher to, like, a cover band playing at weddings or farmers markets or something? Like, what happened?
Yeah, so it's so funny because I, you know, I'm pretty spiritual, and I think that, like, things, when you're meant to be somewhere, you get green lights all the way, and it's so effortless and it's easy. And you're like, okay, like, I think this is the path that I'm supposed to go down.
Yeah.
So it really just started. Yeah. I was playing in my room by myself in my bedroom, playing the guitar. And then that turned into like trying to write my own songs. And, you know, I did that alone for like 5-6 years. And one night I went to dinner with a friend of mine from high school, and he's got cerebral palsy and like is in a walker, and you know, we had this really great conversation, and he was like, you know, my goal for the summer is to like walk without my walker. And so I remember that night, like he was struggling walking from the car to the restaurant, but he was like, this is my goal. Like, I'm going to do it. And for the longest time, I had been saying, I want to go to an open mic. Like, my goal is to go to an open mic. But I was too scared. I was too afraid of, like, what people were going to think about me. Or, you know, I never played out for people. And I remember the next day, I was like, okay, if Shelton can do that, like, the next day, I'm going to go and I'm going to do an open mic. So I did an open mic at a place called Almost Pharmacy in San Antonio. And My mom, of course, like every mom, put a little clip on Facebook, and a guy that I grew up with, he was playing bass in a band, and he said, "Hey, I saw this clip that your mom posted of you on Facebook. You know, we're hosting auditions. We need a background vocalist for our band." And I was like, dude, I like just did my first open mic. Like, that's too much too soon. I don't even know how to sing harmonies. Oh, wait, let's see. Sorry. Can you hear me still?
There was, I can hear you
my,
still.
My brother was calling me. But so I almost didn't go to the audition. I'm so glad I did. My mom was like kind of pushing me out the door. And got there, and they were like, "Hey, you know, you're in the band. Like, we'll teach you how to sing harmonies." And so it just kind of, I joined on singing background for this girl. And 3 months into it, the guys kind of had a falling out with her. And then they were like, "Hey, we need a lead singer. Do you want to be our lead singer?" So I was like, so all of a sudden, I go from like singing in my bedroom to like 3 months later, like have like four players like ready to go play gigs. We had no gigs. And so, but I was like, oh my God, this has like been my dream for forever. And I've always wondered, how does this even happen? So I was like on the phone with bars, like calling them 5 times a day. Like, can we play at your barbecue restaurant? You know, and it just kind of started organically that way. And yeah, it just kind of built up. We were playing 4 or 5 times a week, you know,
no shit.
Weddings. Yeah, we were, you know, doing cover gigs, but we were playing weddings.
What were you covering? Country music?
Yeah, kind of country. Yeah, mostly Southern rock, country.
You were the only singer, or was there a dude that sang like dude songs?
Yeah, so I was the main singer, but then our guitarist, who I am now in the Barons with, who I started it with,
Dana.
He was singing Dana. We were singing harmony together. And then we had another background, a female background vocalist that would. So we were always big into the harmonies, like even from that cover band. We were like, let's add that little, you know, dynamic to it. But yeah, it just kind of unfolded. And, you know, we did 3 years of kind of playing weddings and little farmers markets and hole in the wall restaurants and bars. And
did you ever play like Sam's or Floors or Green Hall or anything, or were you just in that sort of like underground circuit, like the restaurant?
Yeah, so the cover band, not so much. With this new band, we just played at Sam's recently, back in February, because that's kind of, you kind of walk this line of, it was such a great experience, and we learned how to play with the bands, and we learned how to kind of perform in front of people, you know, and it was really good, like getting our chops up, like playing that often. And but after a while, we kind of were like, okay, we need to reevaluate, like what do we really want to do? Do we want to be a cover band? Like, cause we can do that, and we can, you know, make a lot of money, like in the wedding circuit or like that stuff. But I was writing songs, and we were like, no, we want to, you know, pursue our original music, and we want to start establishing ourselves as an original act. And that's when me and Dana decided, hey, like, I think it's time that we make the move to Austin, find some players that are more kind of on the same page, and they want to do this for a living and for a career.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when we made the choice to move to Austin.
Were you and Dana involved outside of the band?
We were. Yes. My mom always said, don't mix business with pleasure. But I feel like, you know, like a lot of, you know, you're around each other all the time. And, you know, it just happens sometimes. And, and I think it really did help us. We dated for like 3 years and actually lived together when we moved to Austin for that first year.
Right. I mean, that makes it a little easier to move and everything. Like, you can, and it makes it easy. Like, you're both in the place. You can always be working on the stuff, but then that turns into that blurred line of like, are we working? What are you yelling at me about the dishes? Are you yelling at me because you don't like the way I play a G chord? Or yeah. I've never done it, but God. I've watched it happen all around me.
Yeah. Oh, have you ever been?
Man,
like,
I'll be honest. I'll be straight up honest. I've made out with a couple musicians, but mm-hmm. I've never dated a musician. I'm 52 years old.
Yeah.
And I've been a musician, like playing gigs since I was like 14. And it's never occurred to me to date somebody in my thing.
Don't do it. At least not someone in your band. I'll save you the heartache. And they're just, don't even just be like, no, not happening. No, it was great. And I think it really was beneficial because it's different. You have a different dynamic when you're in a relationship with someone.
Sure.
And like, you're able to kind of speak your mind a little bit. And what was nice is that we have, even now, we have this open, I always know where I stand with him and he always knows where he stands with me. And we can get to the point and say, this is what I want. And so that I think has been a crucial part of it. A couple years back when we were kind of in the midst of it, there was, it can create a lot of tension and like a lot of, you're in bars every night and people are drinking and like, there's people that are coming. It can be a lot, to handle. But I think that with us, our end goal was always the band and that was always our focus. And, I think even to this day, that's why we're still able to operate within a band.
Yeah, yeah.
Is because that's our priority, I guess,
Yeah. Do you know Andrea and Benjamin from Beetroot Revival, those Irish guys?
No, I need to look them up.
Oh yeah, they're a great band, but they moved here from Ireland as a couple, and they do this thing and they split up in the love way, but kept the band going, and now they have a really strong relationship. It's interesting because you achieve a level of intimacy that you wouldn't achieve with just bandmates. Because you were romantically involved, but then when you take away the romance and you keep that intimacy, then it can be a real deep connection. Even
Definitely.
Better. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you look at like Fleetwood Mac, is one of my favorite bands, and it's like you kind of look at, Stevie and Lindsey and how, they, it's funny because obviously we're not Fleetwood Mac. I wish we were. But, our story is kind of similar, like where Stevie and Lindsey were playing in this band together and then they moved and did their own thing, like their duo. And then they joined a group and
split up. They were
kind of breaking up.
Yeah.
During it. And I was like, that's totally me and Dana's story. And I feel like, there's a lot of other musicians that kind of find themselves in that situation, too. But yeah.
Are there songs like, are you ever up there singing songs like Adam on stage?
There have, that's what the funny part too. I remember when we were breaking up like a couple years ago, I wrote this like song and it's still to this day one of my favorite songs. And I have to bring it to him. I'm like, hey, I want to put music to this. And of course he knows every line, what it's about, But it's like, whatever. That's the bit. The music is the priority. And so there was no we definitely know where each other stands. There's no secrets there. We say we're like co-parenting, like the
co-parenting
band,
the band. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're co-parenting.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys, okay, so you get those guys together and you get your band going. And then you started playing, like, where all do you guys, I saw you played one-to-one, but I was just trying to figure out, like, what's your scene here?
Yeah, we're kind of, it's kind of that weird thing where, kind of going back to, the genre thing, like, we're, in Texas, there's a big red dirt scene, and then there's also, in Austin, that, like, alternative scene, and, we feel like it's kind of hard to find our place within all of that because
right.
we're definitely not red dirt.
Right.
But we're also not super like alternative and some of the stuff that's in Austin. So I think that's been the biggest challenge is like, okay, what venues do we need to be playing or, what blogs do we need to be reaching out to? So I think we're just kind of you know, researching as much as we can. And we've played like Sam's Burger Joint. We've played the Rustic Tap in Austin a couple times, one-to-one. Like Houston, we played in Houston last weekend.
Really?
Yeah, we played at a place called the Dirty South in Angleton, like right outside of Houston. And they have, you know, some country acts come through, and it's a really nice, like, live music setup, really good stage. So we kind of just reach out to Dallas and Houston and kind of just wherever we can play. And, yeah, we're slowly but surely just trying to build a social media following, and we just got a camera, so we're trying to start experimenting with pictures and videos, because that's, you know, that's what it's all about these days. And, you know, how can we connect to the people that follow us through those mediums as well as our music? And yeah, I mean, as you know, it's just, it's a learning, you know, it's trial and error, you know, and you see what works and what doesn't. And yeah, especially during this crazy time, it's like, okay, like how can we keep the momentum going? Because the biggest thing is like, we just don't want to lose momentum. And,
right.
How can we keep it, yeah, exciting? How can we keep people interested? How can we keep ourselves interested and motivated, you know?
What's interesting is watching the industry kind of do this great, some people might call it crumbling or shift or whatever the hell has happened over the last 20 years. But like the only place, it became a safe place where you can make money by going to a place, bunch of people get together, they pay to see you play, and then you can keep your thing going. But they took that away with this pandemic. Like the one income source that we all had that really worked, you can't really live off of Spotify plays, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's an interesting time, and we just keep saying like, okay, like we may not be able to play shows right now. You know, we all have our jobs, like our part-time jobs, which is keeping us, you know, afloat and our rent paid and everything. Sure. But we're like, okay, if we can't do the live show, let's pivot. Like, let's see what we can do. Let's focus on our songwriting or like, let's focus on, how do you, I've always, you know, I want to look more into how do you get songs in like TV or film or commercials. And so it's like, okay, if we can't book these gigs, like what else can we be doing to kind of keep the ball rolling and just, I don't know, keep at it.
Jordan, have you ever checked out the Austin Music Foundation?
I have. I need to look more into it.
You can go like get a free consultation there even now, like over Zoom and stuff, with like a person that would talk to you.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll look into that for sure. Yeah. Yeah, they do a lot of great things, I know. So
I work with them in their artist development program. But I do, I mean, like when you, it just reminded me when you said that you needed to pivot. At the beginning of this pandemic, I moderated a panel with all of these people, managers and stuff, about, it was called Time to Pivot. Like, basically, like, okay, we can't go play shows. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
Or what can you do, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, you know, I work like small businesses kind of. It's like everything, you know, we just have to have a plan B, a plan C, and just kind of roll with it and just hope something works, hope something sticks. But
what are you doing in San Antonio while you're there?
So my dad's in Houston, and so I am watching over his house, the dog, and it's been really good. I went to dinner with some friends last night, so I got to catch up with them. Went down to the Riverwalk today, like the Pearl Brewery, and walked around.
I like that area. Like
it's so cool.
Where Sam's is, you mean? That place?
Yeah,
that's a good, that's a good jam.
Yeah, it's really up and coming, and, you know, I just feel like it's growing. There's a new building every time I come back in town, and
it's a fun spot. I'm in this band called Skyrocket, and we play at Sam's, and just watching that whole place change, like, before, like, in between soundcheck and the gig, you sat in that little room eating your burger, waiting to play. But now there's so much shit to do. You can run around, go, you know, nothing again. I love a Sam's Burger, but it's nice to go out and get a little salad or something, or go have a drink at a nice place. And yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's pretty cool.
So you're taking over your dad's house and chilling out. And are you writing while you're there? Did you bring your guitar?
I did. Yeah. The other night I was fixing to go to bed, and I'm glad I didn't, because I ended up coming up with something. So yeah, it's been good to kind of slow down and have the house to myself and kind of some peace and quiet. And yeah, I feel like it's kind of just helped me refocus and find my zen again, which always helps with writing. So I've got a couple new ideas that I'm excited to bring to the band when I get back in town.
That's great. You know what I didn't write down is your website. What is the website for you guys?
Yeah, so if you go to www.thebarrens, B-A-R-R-E-N-S, band.com.
Okay.
And you can find links to our YouTube, Instagram, Spotify, all that good stuff right there.
All the stuff. Well, your EP is out, Young. It's a great EP. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You guys did a great job. Pat did a great job. You're a great songwriter. I thank you for opening up too. That's I feel like we went really deep for two people that don't know each other.
Yeah.
Well, you owe me $95, so.
I know, right? I'm just joking. My therapist.
I'm unlicensed.
I know, and I'm big into, just vulnerability. And it's like at the same, we all think the same thing or experience the same things, and
right.
I'd rather, it's like, let's talk about it, So I appreciate you being open too.
Yeah, man. It's really nice to meet you. I hope someday we get to meet in person. Are you guys playing, Geraldine's? Is that you play there every once in a while?
Yeah, so we don't have any gigs in we played in New Braunfels and then Houston last weekend, but right now we got nothing in the book. So if you're listening and you need a band at your venue, call me. So we're going to start hitting it, booking hard again soon. But just right now, just stay tuned. Yeah, just writing more songs and trying to play where we can.
All right. Well, Jordan, it's been really nice talking to you. Congratulations. And I want to hear what else the Barrens do and what else you do musically.
Yes, this was such a pleasure. I'm a big fan of your music and your podcast. So it was a great getting to chat with you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Johnny.
Young, the debut EP by the band The Barrens, is available now wherever it is you stream and download your jams. You can find them at thebarrensband.com. What a great conversation. Jordan Gibbons was a pleasure to talk to. She was in San Antonio, house-sitting for her dad. Maybe she's back in Austin now. Hopefully she's doing well. I had a great conversation with her. I'm looking forward to seeing that band live. All these bands, man, I want to get out and see these people play. I've met so many. I've done so many fucking podcasts this year, especially under the quarantine. Like, so many. So many, and I've met so many people that I haven't met an actual person. So I'm looking forward to seeing the Barrens. Sorry, I was freaking out. Check out their debut EP, Young. It's fantastic. My man Pat Mansky engineered it over there at The Zone. And Dana Smith, the guitar player of the Barrens, produced it. Jordan Gibbons, of course, great conversation. TheBarrensBand.com is where you will find them. All right? Don't forget, when you're checking out TheBarrensBand.com, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts. Be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, wherever you find podcasts, you'll get a new show from me every Tuesday and every Friday. All right? Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Enjoy the rest of this song, Young, from the debut EP, Young, by The Barrens. Let's get down.